Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fired up to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Get our friend Mr. Steve Sands on the line from Golf Channel.
Sandsy.
Sandsy, what's up, bud?
Yeah, I feel like Mariano Rivera is about to close out a game.
I mean, the Nats could sure use him.
Did you get close to the rough?
A couple of losses in a row to the Rockies. Yikes.
Yep.
Dude, I mean, people don't all know what a crazy DC sports fan you are, but we do. You know, people are pissed here, and they're specifically pissed at Davey Martinez. You lose 10 in a row and 5 in a row are to the Marlins and the Rockies. I think all cards are on the table. Where are you at with everything going on in Nats Town?
Well, since we're a couple days removed from Father's Day, in the immortal words of the great Ed Sands, who left us last year, everything in life is about leadership. He used to say that to us all the time. I got news for you. Rizzo's, he's got handcuffs on. Martinez didn't forget how to manage. The learners quit on this organization after we won the World Series. That's it. Wait, what are they supposed to do? That roster's not that great. The budget's not high enough. They act like we're a small market town team. It's ridiculous. It all stems from the top as far as what's going on. To me, in my opinion, as to how the Nationals have conducted business here in the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, we all know, though, Steve, owners don't get fired. We just experienced 27
Correct.
Years of that. So,
Correct.
What's going to what happens or what needs to happen to get things back in order?
Well, I don't think it needs to happen, but Martinez is going to get fired because you just can't keep losing, you know, and losing and losing. That's just not the way it works in pro sports. And I get that. There's accountability for everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're right, B. Mitch. The owners don't get fired. The owners run the show. And as long as the learners are there, there's no way, unless they decide to turn things around and spend a little bit of money and act like we're a big market team and pretend that the TV deal is still the way it used to be and the dollars aren't flowing in. I think that Martinez is going to be in trouble here, which is unfortunate because I think he's a really good manager. And I think that Rizzo, you know, can't reach his full potential, which is immense, man. You see that roster in the last decade, how great
so
that
loaded.
Roster was? That was Rizzo who put that together, man. Mm-hmm. And if you're not allowed to continue to do that, then clearly Martinez and the team are not going to perform well, which means the manager's going to get fired because players don't get fired either. And Rizzo's in a tough spot, and that's just the way it works. But unfortunately, I think Davey has 1 foot out the door, if not both feet right now.
Dude, I totally agree. It's tough because you lose 10 in a row, you open the door to getting fired, period.
Yep.
But he's not the problem. You fire him, you think they're going to rattle off a 15-game win streak because Davey's gone? Because I don't. It's the roster. I mean, just look at the roster from 2017 to 2025, and it's just not at all a commitment to winning. I totally agree with you, Steve.
It's ridiculous. I'm not saying that we're the Yankees and the Dodgers, and we're not saying we're New York and L.A.
Right.
But, my gosh, we are not a small market franchise.
And no.
I just spent a week in Pittsburgh, right? Our hotel, you guys have been to Pittsburgh. Our hotel, I love that city. I think it's really cool. It's a great sports town. And the way their stadiums are right there on the river and overlooking downtown are spectacular. And obviously their fans care about their teams as much as you can possibly care about any teams in any city. And Just look at the Steelers fans when they take over every building they go to on the road.
Totally.
The Pirates Stadium is so gorgeous, and our hotel was literally overlooking it, overlooking the Roberto Clemente Bridge and the Allegheny, looking straight into PNC Park. They were in town earlier that week when we were there for Oakmont last week.
Yeah.
There was nobody there. The Pirates stink. I mean, the Nationals and the Learners treat the team and the city and the fan base as if we're the Marlins and the Rays and the Pirates and the Royals and these small market franchises, which I have no problem with small market franchises, but my gosh, why is DC running itself like it's a small market? I just think it's a shame, and it's killing the fans, and it's killing Martinez, it's killing Rizzo, and it's killing the players. It's just not fair.
I agree. One, were you staying at that Renaissance in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, dude, that's an awesome hotel. But two,
yeah, it was awesome.
To your point, what's even worse about this to me is it's not like we didn't see the Lerner family spend. They spent.
They did it before.
They won, and then they just decided to pull the plug on everything. And yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I know. I mean, maybe there's shifting family dynamics. I know the kind of the patriarch passed away. I'm guessing there's some, you know, when you go from one dude in charge of everything to whatever there are, four or five siblings that all are supposed to have some share of ownership, I'm guessing that gets pretty complicated. I just wish they would sell, because they've said they wanted to sell. Just sell it, and let's all move forward.
They stripped it all down, man, just so they could sell it. And then COVID hit, and then all kinds of stuff happened. And, you know, now they're kind of, you know, in this murky area where baseball doesn't really know what it's doing as far as TV contracts and money coming in. So, you know, everybody's kind of on hold as far as the sale goes. But, my gosh. The team was so good. I'm not saying you're going to sustain that all throughout time, by no means. But we just watched a Stanley Cup champion, a three-in-a-row Stanley Cup final participant, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions now, in a small market relatively, in a city that literally can't even freeze water, let alone stand on ice.
Right.
And I just think it's insane how some of these owners make moves and care, and some of these owners do not. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't like the fact that, you know, the Lerners weren't spending money and treating us like small market, but now it's gotten to the point where they're not relevant, really. You know, I mean, I know that the weather's been garbage, and I've been watching these games on TV, and the weather's garbage. There's nobody in the stands because of the weather, but also because of the product, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, you don't offer Bryce Harper. Professional sports. You don't offer deferred contracts. That's not how it works in professional sports, unless it's a Shohei Ohtani $700 million kind of deal. You know, that's a really nice deal, which is weird to say for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But for the Lerners to do what they did with, think of the roster that we had there. My gosh. And they're all gone, and they're all elsewhere, and they're all getting paid. And I just find it abysmal to watch them on a nightly basis and realize what they could be, because we've already seen what they can be when the Lerners care. And again, I don't know their financials, but you can't tell me when that building was filled for the better part of a decade and they were going to playoff games and playoff series after playoff series of the World Series that they were losing money. They couldn't have been losing money
totally
in that regard. And golly, it's like sitting at a $5 blackjack table in Vegas. Yeah, you'll have a good time, but if you really want to actually make some money, you might want to up the ante.
Yep.
So I don't know what the Lerners are doing, but I don't like it. It's not fair as a fan.
I'll tell you this, if they think that they want to make top dollar when they sell, you might want to have a winning product.
Yeah.
we talk about John Leahy all the time. He will help you spruce your house up a little bit to look good, and then you get top dollar. Well, if you spruce your team up, then you can sell it for top dollar. But if it's not you're not getting top dollar.
That's exactly right. Just look, this is not the NFL, okay? No matter how he tried to burn the house down with the Skins, there was no way that the Commanders weren't going to be worth top dollar to another person who was buying the team, because the NFL is a separate category. But when you get into baseball, you see nobody in the stands. You see a payroll real low. You see TV ratings real low. You see a funky TV deal nationally and locally. You're just not going to get top dollar. The only way you're getting top dollar is, as you said, Brian, you dress the house up a little bit. I just don't like what they're doing. I love them, and they're our team.
Right.
But my gosh, come on now.
To me, rock bottom was last year in desperate search of some pop in the lineup. Mike Rizzo was forced to sign Joey Gallo to a one-year, $5 million deal. Gallo was terrible.
And defer that.
They deferred a one-year, $5 million deal. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Seriously, man. Come on.
All right, let's switch gears. We're talking with our friend Steve Sands. You can watch his work at the Golf Channel. Sands, I think it was a challenge because of the weather and everything in Pittsburgh. And I'm not just saying this because my affiliation with him. I thought the NBC coverage of the U.S. Open was phenomenal. I thought you did a great job. I thought Tirico was great. I really enjoyed it. Golf Channel into NBC. I was watching USA at 8 a.m. It was terrific. What was it like being up there at a course that famous and that difficult, and maybe without kind of the mega stars on the leaderboard that some were expecting?
Well, first of all, about the coverage, thank you. That's very kind of you. It's a hell of a production. As you know, it's a crazy, crazy week. Rewarding week, but it's a wild week. And everybody I know, maybe even you, everybody I know kept saying, hey, is it on USA? Is it on Peacock? Is it on NBC? And I'm like, all three. And they're like, well, what are you on? I said, all three. I'll be on NBC, I'll be on Peacock, I'll be on USA. I said, it's just one of those kind of weeks where we have coverage wall to wall. And you know,
but I love having the options. I love being able to watch it starting thing in the morning.
Yeah,
I'm with you. It's fun, man. It's a great, great time. I always enjoy doing it. Look, the field is the field, and then the leaderboards are the leaderboards. You know you have a great field. It's a U.S. Open. How leaderboards shape up, you just don't know. And sometimes you get crazy horsepower atop a leaderboard. Other times you don't get the biggest names in the sport. I actually thought it was a better leaderboard than people realize. Sam Burns is a fabulous player. He's been a Ryder Cup.
Got a great story.
You know, Victor Hovland is one of the great young players in the sport. J.J. Spahn is an underdog. You always need an underdog. You have to have David and Goliath in sports. And then Scheffler made a bit of a run. Rahm made a little bit of noise. You know, I thought it was a better leaderboard than perhaps most people realized at the time. And then the best player won, and the guy actually won the tournament, the championship. He didn't, you know, nobody lost it, which I always think is a great thing in golf. It happens all the time in golf. Guys lose events almost as much as they win one. And I thought it was a really, really strong event with an amazing finish. I think the USGA goofed it up a little bit. And I think J.J. Spahn bailed and causing a Monday morning finish with a playoff. So it had everything last week, and it was a lot of fun. And Oakmont is a monster, man. It's such a great golf course, a worthy U.S. Open venue. I thought it was a really cool week.
Do you think more courses try to I know they can't do the difficulty of Oakmont, but they've tried to lengthen courses. That does nothing for these players. But that rough, that humbles them.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, Oakmont is the most difficult of the whole rotation. You know, you can put Wingfoot in there. You know, there's some very, very difficult golf courses out there. But Oakmont's different, Brian, because Oakmont plays that way 365, man. You know, the rough is down a little bit, but those greens are the same speed. I've played Oakmont in August. I played it in October. You know, I played it when it's not a U.S. Open year. That place is brutal. I don't know how anybody is a member there is a normal person and enjoys it. It's so hard. But for U.S. Open, Brian, I think that, you know, you got to go to the rough, and they do. And they keep those green speeds at around 15 on the stem. So with that crazy rough and the fast greens, that combination usually means that someone's going to be around par to win. And, you know, if JJ doesn't make that crazy long putt, two putts, nobody breaks par. He would have been even par, would have won the thing. So I find it incredible to go to Oakmont. I love it. It's been there 10 times now, the most of any venue in the rotation. And I think it's just a fabulous, fabulous place to host the U.S. Open. But it's brutal, man. It's really, really difficult.
I totally agree with you. I played it once. I broke 100, no big deal, by shooting a 99. But I'm cool with it. You know, Sands, one of your a phrase you say a lot is keep your poise. And for all the talk of Rory and Scotty and who, you know, John Rahm, whatever else, I thought JJ Spaun keeping his cool after whatever that was, the second or third hole when his ball hit the flag and bounced back 80 yards. I mean, just the mental wherewithal. That's a U.S. Open champion. Yeah, the USGA wants to grind you down, and if you can stand up to it, you can win that thing.
There you go.
JP, he started with 6-5. He started with 5 bogeys in his first 6 holes. One of them was insane, like you said, hitting the flagstick at 2. That ball would have probably ended up within 10 feet of the hole. Instead, it ended up 60 yards away.
Unbelievable.
That's just bad luck, but that's part of sports. I mean, you get the good, you get the bad. And like you said, man, keeping your poise is something you have to do, not only in sports, but in life. And JJ got punched in the face a few times in that first hour, hour and a half of that final round. And he hung in there, shot a 3-under back 9 on Sunday to win the U.S. Open, going birdie, birdie at 17 and 18. You know the other guy who's ever done that? It's the 125th U.S. Open. The only other person who's ever done that, a guy named Ben Hogan.
Damn.
Wow.
He won it 4 times. He's one of the great players in the history of the sport. So, you know, I think that, like, you joke about the poison, but it's so true. I mean, look, Sam Burns, okay? Sam Burns is a pretty mellow guy.
Yeah.
When he didn't get that drop when he was standing in the water and his golf ball was in the water, you know, if that were me, I would have gone, you talk about baseball order with the Nats, I would have gone full-fledged George Brett pine tar incident if they wouldn't have given me a ruling there. But, and, you know, it was insane how they did that. But Sam kept his poise, too. He just didn't play well coming out. That really messed him up.
Why didn't he get a drop there, though? Because standing water is a rule, right?
It is. There's a very – I don't want to get too into the weeds, but the rules officials will tell you. And I fully believe, Brian, 100% that he should have gotten a drop. The rules officials will tell you there's this part of the rule as far as standing water goes that if it was not there before and it is there now and you can't see it, but you know it's underneath, you know, there's all kinds of intricacies to that rule. And I think that they did Sam wrong. I think Sam got robbed, not of the U.S. Open, not saying he would have gone on to win, but he was robbed of the opportunity to win because from that point on, he was done. And I just can't believe that he didn't get a ruling there. I thought that was really wrong.
Especially
I think they should have blown the horn in that moment, right. And they should have blown the horn before they blew the horn. They should have blown the horn a second time, probably. But, you know, it's a TV show. Nobody wants to come back on Monday. The USGA's got business to attend to. The club does, too. There are a lot of factors that go into it. But Sam got robbed with that non-ruling there, and that was really, really bad, I thought, on his part.
You said it earlier that Spaun bailed him out. He did. By making that big putt and that becoming kind of the seminal moment, it allows people to focus a little less on Burns standing in a puddle having to hit a ball. Sands, I know you get a little time off here. I know you got Tahoe coming up, but after that, how excited are you for the BMW Championship to be in Baltimore, to get to spend a week in Baltimore watching best golfers in the world? The money gets nuts. And, I mean, Kays Valley's just such an elite track.
Mm-hmm.
Time off, man. Come on, I'm heading to Hartford right now for the Travelers, man.
When are you going to the beach?
What's that?
When are you? I went
to the beach for a day, say hello to the missus, and then I'm heading to Hartford right now. And then
the fifth major,
like you said, then the fifth major, the Travelers Championship. And then And then we go from Tahoe to the Open or Royal Port Rush. And the playoffs are going to be awesome, JP, starting in Memphis, ending in Atlanta. But that middle one, man, the BMW being played at Caves Valley, one of the great finishes I've ever seen in any event, whether it's a major, a regular season event, or a playoff event, was that playoff 4 years ago with Cantlay and DeChambeau. Caves Valley is a worthy golf course, really good track. Now, the guys will score on that course because when you give the best players in the world kind of mid-Atlantic soft conditions and in August and four par fives, you know, they're going to score on that golf course. But Caves Valley is awesome. The membership is great. The guys are looking forward to getting there. Having seen it 4 years ago, they know what kind of drama that Caves Valley can provide. It's going to be great. It's awesome to have the best players in the world in our area. I've always thought, and I know I'm a homer, and I've told you guys this before on and off the air, the fact that the PGA Tour doesn't visit the D.C., Baltimore area every single year, to me, as a sports fan, is criminal. So to have it back in our area, I hope the folks in the D.C. area drive up to Baltimore and enjoy Caves Valley just like they did 4 years ago. That place was rocking, and the players put on a big-time show, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen again in August.
Let's do this, if he's listening. August 12th, Mariners at Orioles. Danny Frank, let's get a setup. All the boys will meet at Camden. Maybe we'll go for the practice round, then go to Camden for the night. Maybe tip a few. Are you in on that, Sands?
Am I in? If you say Danny Frank and J.P. Finley, I'm in, man. Kidding me? By the way, you throw in beers, although Danny won't participate.
But he can drive. Beers, it's perfect.
You got a built-in designated driver there.
Yeah. No offense to everybody else and whatever buddy's favorite phrases are, but the two greatest words in the English language are free beer. Come on.
last thing for me, Sands. Have you picked the away games you're going to for the Commanders yet?
You know what's funny? I was just looking at that last night. I was just trying to map it out.
See you in Madrid, dog. See you in Madrid.
Schedule. I'm trying to get to Madrid, but I don't think we can do that one. But I'll tell you what is on the ledger.
Which one?
At Lambeau and at Kansas City. Those two have some serious potential.
No, that sounded like right up your alley. Thank you for making time, brother. Really appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Take care, brother.
You got it, fellas. Great.
The legend. Golf Channel, Steve Sands. Terrific, terrific interview right there. Coming back, and we're going to talk some luck at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.